Good morning, my friends. Greeting you from our church sanctuary. I wanted to take a minute and of welcome. First, to say welcome. I'm glad we're participating together in worship. It's my hope that we, as we worship together, that we experience God's Spirit, and not only that we experience God's Spirit, that we share our experience of God's Spirit, that we share with perhaps folks that we're in touch with during the week, or maybe just be inspired to call or text or email or message someone in some way, that experience of God's Spirit that we might understand and feel and know during this time of worship together, even knowing that this sense of together is not in physical proximity, but is still a spiritual togetherness. And so I hope that you will share those spiritual experiences. But I also wanted to take a minute and show you a bit of your sanctuary as we are in worship this day. I'm in an empty room, and that may feel a little bit unusual. It certainly does to me, and it may seem that way to you as well. But set up in a way so that we can pre-record worship. You see behind me a tripod that I'll use instead of just my arm as we worship. You'll see that the pyramids are still reflecting the colors of Lent. We have Alita coming in to change those out later on this week, but I'm recording this on a Wednesday before we worship on Sunday. I wanted you to have a moment as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship, for you to be familiar with this space, a space that you're surely familiar with, a space that is not necessarily holy only because of its space, but because of the people who participate in its community. Let us join in this time of community.
Hello, friends. It's so good to be with you in worship this week. We have just a couple of announcements for you this week, but if you have anything you would like to share with your church family, please let us know. You can reach Teresa at info@lajoyaumc.org with anything that should be announced via worship or the journal, whether it's a moment of celebration like a birthday or an anniversary. You can donate flowers to be on the altar in our video worship services, or we can just share the good news with each other in this way. So we want to know what's going on in your life, and if you're doing any work on behalf of the church community, we want to celebrate that as well. So milestones, celebrations, birthdays, anniversaries, the leak you fixed in the patio bathroom, we want to know about it. Please share with us your announcements so that we can share them with the community. We also want you to participate in worship on video. So if you feel called to read a prayer or a scripture, or maybe even share a children's moment, please let Pastor Bob or myself know. We want as many people as possible to be able to be on video worshiping with us and with the La Jolla UMC community. So if you have been a liturgist before, or if you haven't, if you would like to pray a prayer, or like I said, share in some other way, please let us know. We want to have you be present in this way in our worship services. So we hope to hear from you soon. Yeah, that's that announcement. Great. The last one is, do be on the lookout for more details about Coffee Chat with Pastor Bob. It's a little bit of a hard time to meet Pastor Bob and get to know him, but we are trying to offer some opportunities. One of those is going to just be an open office hours type situation. Bring your coffee, bring your tea, bring your morning beverage of choice, hot cocoa, energy drink, I don't know. And join Pastor Bob on a Zoom call to get to know him a little bit, and so that he can start getting to know all of you. It's a weird time, but we are still connected, and there are lots of ways to interact digitally or even just by an old-fashioned phone call. So we hope you'll be on the lookout for that in coming weeks.
Please join me, friends, in the call to worship. The words should be on your screens. Come, let us worship the Lord our God. For the Lord is our God, and we are God's people.
As we wait upon the Lord, let us open our ears, that we might both hear and heed the word of God. As we wait upon the Lord, let us open our eyes, that we might both see and perceive the will of God. As we wait upon the Lord, let us open our hearts, that we might understand with our hearts and turn to God for healing.
Joy to meet my Lord, forgiven, loved, and free. In awesome wonder to recall His life laid down for me. His life laid down for me. As Christ breaks bread and bids us share each proud division, makes us one, and strangers now are friends, and strangers now are friends.
I invite you to join me in an attitude of prayer. Creator God, fill in the places in our lives that feel empty or broken. Help us to receive your word in our hearts and your wisdom in our souls. Open our minds to receive your insights and your guidance. Nurture us this day that we may grow in mercy and grace all the days of our lives. Amen.
Well, hi, everybody. Happy Sunday. Remember, I'm Pastor Bob. We maybe met last week. I hope that we did. And remember last week, maybe what I suggested is maybe you could come a little bit closer to the screen, only as close as the other folks in the room who are watching with you say is okay, but maybe come a little closer to the screen, maybe like you would in church. And I want to talk to you about something that maybe isn't so fun, but I think we'll find a way to sort of talk through this, because I want to talk about consequences. Now, how many of you have ever had a consequence? I've had a consequence. Now, maybe you want to look around at the other people in your room and see if they've got a reminder for you about whether or not you've had a consequence, but also you can ask them if they've ever had a consequence, and I bet you their answer is yes. Well, think about what that consequence might have been, and maybe it was sitting in a kind of time-out chair or time-out space. Maybe like when I was a kid, I would be sent to my room in that kind of time-out thing, and think about what that felt like to be sort of isolated, to have to sit in that one space, and maybe you felt a little lonely, maybe you felt bad for whatever it is that you got your consequence for. But then think about how it felt for that consequence to be over. Think about how it felt to be able to get up out of that timeout chair, timeout space, to come out of your room, or to have whatever that consequence was ended. And think about how maybe exciting that was. You know, our Bible talks to us about how free we are as spiritual people, as religious people, as people who love God, and how we love Jesus, and how it makes a difference to us that Jesus is in our lives and is in our hearts. And maybe one way that we think about that is the way we feel when we're at the end of a consequence, when we feel free and excited and we're able to do the things that we love and enjoy to do, again, within those important boundaries. Think about how that feels to be able to get out of that space, how exciting that is. And I think you'll find that being able to do that is a lot like what we get by being loved by Jesus and by loving Jesus. I hope that we'll be able to talk more about that. I like to close children's time with a prayer, and so I hope you'll join me in prayer. Dear God, thank you for Jesus and for the ways that we get to feel free. Amen. Thanks, everybody, for having a little chat with me. See you next week.
As we move into our time of prayer, it's the time that we share our joys and concerns, our praises and our worries with God and each other. So if you're watching this with your household or listening with your household, I invite you to turn to each other and share what's on your mind and heart this week. I think it's beautiful when families are in prayer together. So We invite you to share your joys and concerns with each other at home. If you're watching or listening on your own, I invite you to pause and think about a friend or a loved one in a hard situation or some situation in the world that you're concerned about. And I invite you to connect with some other person about that joy or concern, whether by text or a phone call or email or Facebook Messenger, or write a postcard or a letter. Connect in some way and let someone else know that you're thinking of them or that you need help or support from them. As always, you can find your pastors via email or phone. Our email addresses are on the church website, and Teresa in the office also receives prayer requests for the congregation, and you can find her at info@lajoyaumc.org. I invite you to share now. I would also direct your attention to our prayer list, which you can find in both editions of the journal, the weekly Wednesday edition or the worship edition that comes out on Saturdays, and keep these folks on your mind and in your heart as you pray throughout the week. This week, we pray for Paul Myers, Sarah Ward, Mark Savies, Denise Whitaker, Jenny Lai and her family, Denise Kilman, Lisa, Diana, the Cliff family, Amphon Cox, Courtney Guevara, the Haster family, Jason Coleman, Joan Christensen and her family, Emilio Valente and his family, Marissa, David, Charlotte, Joe Arndt, Jennifer Rath Scott, Marjorie Schlenkard, Sherry Leitner, Evelyn Dobson and her family, the family of Sandra Morrison Geralds, Kathleen Clapsaddle, her family and friends, Joseph and Helena Chan, Alan Bergelson, Cindy and the Mark family, Lorraine Walvoord, Nancy Breland, Jean and Denise Blickenstaff, Edna Gallo, Marty Taronis, Kylie and John and David Christensen. We lift all these people to God at this time.
Friends, I invite you to join me in our prayer of confession, which is spoken in unison. The words should be on your screens. Lord of justice and mercy, we come to you at this time seeking your healing and reconciling love. Help us to be open to your word, your presence, your compassion. Clear our hearts of those things which block your will. Keep us focused on your enabling power so that we, having been healed, may more fully serve you. Those who abide in the Spirit, friends, are set free. Those who reside in Christ find no condemnation. Rejoice that we are called to join together in the body of Christ to share in God's love and mercy. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. And we say together, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Won't you pray with me? Holy and everlasting God, whose presence we experience through the love of others, whether friends or family, through the support of our communities, in the beauty and wonder of the natural world, in the creativity of stories and songs and poems, in the transcendence of beautiful music and art, we give thanks for all these good gifts and all these ways in which we connect with you. Thank you for making yourself available to us in these ways. Thank you for your presence and your promises. We are so grateful. But even as we are grateful, God, we are also concerned, worried, afraid, uncertain. There's so much going on in the world around us that we can't control, that we can't know everything about. Sometimes we don't know how to make good decisions. Sometimes we don't know how to make any decision at all. And so in this moment, we bring to you all of our joys, all of our gratitude, all of our celebrations, all of our happiness. And we bring to you our concern, our uncertainty, our fear. We continue to pray for our entire global community as we continue to see the effects and feel the effects of the coronavirus pandemic. We pray in the hope that treatments and vaccines are tested and approved and available soon. We pray in the worry for ourselves and our families and our friends, for our communities, and indeed for the world. We know that we're not on the other side yet. We pray for our leaders at all levels, local and state and national and international, that they are able to make wise and prudent and far-sighted decisions for the welfare of the people in their care. We pray for church leaders around the world as they care for their people. We pray for administrators at schools and hospitals and care facilities, that they have the resources that they need, not only to make good decisions, but to put those good decisions into practice. And we pray for ourselves, that we find the courage, the resilience, the strength that we need to go on putting one foot in front of the other. We're so tired of this. Help us to know that we are strong, that we have what we need, and that you are always there for us, with us, walking with us through every shadow. God, we lift to you all of the people we named from the prayer list. And we bring to you the names of people dear to us, for whom we are fearful or worried. People like Travis. We lift these names and these situations up to you, knowing that you are with them. We pray that these people, these places, these times have everything that they need. And we bring to you all of the people, the situations, the places, the names that we can't even speak out loud. For we know that you know everything. We know that you know what we can't even say. We know that they belong to you. And so we give them to you, even as we can't speak aloud. But knowing, God, that you are with us, that you have surrounded us with your presence, we ask that you continue to go with us down the road. And we pray together in the confidence of children, the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying together,
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
This is a really hard time. It's a hard time to be a spiritual or religious person. It's a hard time to be a family member. It's a hard time to be a grocery shopper. It's a hard time for all of us. And mostly for the same reason. We can't do things the way we're used to doing them. We can't rely on some of the same safety kinds of things that we've felt like were safe. Being outside or going to the grocery store or doing all the things that are our normal habits, they don't feel as safe anymore. Why? Because we're dealing with this global pandemic. And one of the ways that it's affecting us is the ways that we're prevented from gathering together. We're coming up, as of today, I think, a day that we can no longer even gather in restaurants. Now, of course, restaurants are being super creative and finding ways to provide outdoor seating and all. There's all the to-go options and all that's great, but it's still different than what we're used to. And as a congregation, we're prevented from gathering together and experiencing ourselves in person in some of the spiritual ways that we're used to expressing our faith. And that's all complicated because all y'all have a new pastor. How are we supposed to get to know each other? How are we supposed to know that maybe we like some of the same songs and the same hymns? How are we supposed to know that maybe we have some of the same theological concepts or even favorite Bible verses? How are we supposed to get to know those things about each other? We feel so separated from one another. If you remember the video that I showed you at the beginning of this worship service of this empty sanctuary, how are we supposed to connect when we feel so separate from one another? Of course, we know historically that this kind of a separation isn't a new thing. We might think not only about the Spanish flu plague in the 1912 era, but have there been other times historically that we felt separated from one another? Is it always from some kind of pandemic, some kind of health scare, or are there other reasons that we've been separated from one another? And maybe this time of separation isn't only because of the coronavirus, but maybe we're feeling separated for other reasons. Maybe we're feeling separated because it seems so hard to even be in a conversation over a meal with someone who might have a different theological idea or political idea. As we engage in this conversation about separation, sure, maybe it feels like it's all about coronavirus all the time. That's all the thing we hear about in church and on the news, and maybe it's more than that. Maybe we're feeling separated for a whole host of reasons. But maybe there's some peace. Maybe there's some grace. Maybe there's some concept, some spiritual idea that might help us to say that we don't have to be as separated as sometimes we feel. Our scripture from today reminds us that we are not only physical beings. We are not only flesh and blood, but that we are more. We are not only what is seen and tangible and able to be touched, we are more. Indeed, as we as people of faith affirm what we read in both the Old and New Testaments, we must acknowledge that we are more than the frail bodies in which we have been created. This is not to discount that we are indeed made in the image of God, but friends, the image of God is not God. And while we are holy as we are created,
We are also more because the image of God is not limited to these physical things. Our scripture is from Paul's letter to the church in Rome. Now, in the 7th chapter, Paul talks about the human condition, the frailty, the brokenness of humanity. And in the 8th chapter that we'll begin reading today, he talks about how we are set free by the Spirit. Hear now from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, verses 1 through 11. So now there isn't any condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. God has done what was impossible for the law, since it was weak because of selfishness. God condemned sin in the body by sending his own Son to deal with sin in the same body as humans who are controlled by sin. He did this so that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Now, the way we live is based on the Spirit, not based on selfishness. People whose lives are based on selfishness think about selfish things. But people whose lives are based in the Spirit think about things that are related to the Spirit. The attitude that comes from selfishness leads to death, but the attitude that comes from the Spirit leads to life and peace. So the attitude that comes from selfishness is hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God's law because it can't. People who are self-centered aren't able to please God. But you aren't self-centered. Instead, you are in the Spirit, if in fact God's Spirit lives in you. If anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, they don't belong to him. If Christ is in you, the Spirit is your life because of God's righteousness, but the body is dead because of sin. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your human bodies also, through the Spirit that lives in you. Paul reminds us that we are not only physical creatures, but that we are more. Now in the text, Paul's theology is really highlighted in just a few verses. Just in verses 3 and 4. God has done what was impossible for the law since it was weak because of selfishness. God condemned sin in the body, by sending his own Son to deal with sin in the same bodies as humans who were controlled by sin. He did this so that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Now the way we live is based on the Spirit, not based on selfishness. Now, there's quite a bit of debate on these verses, particularly in verse 3, the second half, where Paul writes, God condemned sin in the body by sending his own Son to deal with sin in the same body. See, that phrase, to deal with, is translated in different ways. See, one of the things I like to do when I read a scripture is I like to look at different translations. And I'm reading from the Common English Bible. I've looked at the New Revised Standard. I've looked at the Good News Translation. I also looked at the New International Version. It's the New International Version among all of those that looks at it differently. See, the New International Version talks about Christ being substituted, which is an atonement theology where all the others that I read say that God sends his Son to deal with sin, which is more of a Christus Victor, if you're familiar with some of the theological phrases, a Christus Victor approach. The idea that Christ is victorious over sin differently from Christ substituting himself for our sin. This is a theological debate that I'm sure we'll engage in another time. But it's important to know that however we see that, however we land on that, whether we prioritize atonement theology or victor theology, that Christ has done something for us that helps us to not be limited by our physical creation. See, one of the ways that I like to think about this text, one of the ways that I like to think about what Paul is reminding us is that we must stop prioritizing only ourselves. You see, this duality, this sort of head-to-head conflict between that which Paul names as flesh and that which Paul names as spirit, we might also think about as an inward focus versus an outward focus. When we go to the grocery store and we see the person who isn't wearing a mask, and maybe they're yelling at someone who asked them to wear a mask, where is that focus? What is the reason that we wear a mask in the first place? Is it to protect ourselves or to protect others? When we see that person in the grocery store, the Costco, maybe you've seen the videos online, where is that person's focus? Is it inward or is it outward? Now, I'm not trying to make a political statement. I am trying to make a spiritual statement. What is it that we are called to do? Who is it that we are called to be? Are we called to be a people who focus inwardly, or are we called to be a people who focus outwardly? You know, I gave you a tour of this beautiful sanctuary, but I also reminded you in that tour that this sanctuary is not holy in and of itself. It's not holy because of the foundation on which it sits, or the wood that the pews are made out of. It's not necessarily holy because of the architecture. It's holy because it nourishes us. It fulfills us. It strengthens us, not so that we can shelter in place and hide from the world and protect ourselves, but it does these things so that we can be sent in the world in the same way that Christ sent his disciples into the world. This place nourishes us. It's holy because of its ability to nourish us. And is it the building that nourishes us? No, it's the community, the people who nourish us. And why are we nourished? So that we can go into the world, so that we can shift that focus outward, so that we can be a people who benefit and lift up the communities in which we live and work and move and have our being. Isn't the purpose of a church to be a place to learn and be strengthened so that we can go into the world? Isn't the purpose of being a religious person not for our own personal salvation? Sure, that's a great bonus. But if that's the only reason we're doing it, then maybe we need to ask ourselves if we're doing it for us, selfishly, or if we're doing something more. Because yes, we are saved by the deep and profound love of Christ Jesus, who was sent to deal with sin, as we think about the translations that I mentioned. But then aren't we called to live as though that transformation within us makes a difference? To take our steps into the world? You know, Jesus talks about this too in a number of places in the Gospels, and maybe you've already made this parallel in your mind. Christ cautions the disciples and his followers, listen, you can't spend too much time focusing on earthly things. You have to look towards heavenly things. How, as we experience this time of physical separation, are we looking beyond earthly things and toward heavenly things? And Paul reminds us, dear friends, that we are set free by the Spirit. That we, as people who have been transformed by our faith, have God's Spirit within us. That we are set free by that Spirit, and we are connected to one another with that Spirit. Friends, it is our spirit that connects us so much more than being in the same room. It is our spirit that connects us in love and compassion and grace. It is the spirit that connects us that enables us to do so much more work in the community than we would be able to do on our own. It is the spirit that calls us, that connects us, that strengthens us, that empowers us. It is the spirit that reminds us who we are, that reminds us whose we are, that comforts us when we are weak, that fills in the cracks when we are broken, and that leads us. We are connected, we are empowered, we are led, we are known in the Spirit that already lives in us. Dear friends, let us live as though the Spirit within us matters, makes a difference. Let us not focus on the follies of the flesh, but on God's Spirit that connects us one to another. Let us not focus on earthly things, but on divine things, on heavenly things. Let us be reminded that while our bodies are frail and finite things, as Paul writes, and as it turns out, is in liturgical elements for celebrations at the end of one's life, if the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your human bodies also through the Spirit that lives in you. Friends, you have been given life in your human bodies through the Spirit that lives in you. Let us live connected and fulfilled and strengthened and called and sent. Amen.
Beloveds, the good news is that we are connected to God and to each other in community, even when we can't be together in person. We continue to do the work of building God's kingdom, even far apart from each other. And your gifts are one way that the work is able to continue. So I invite you to go online and make a donation or continue to give your pledge. I invite you to continue to make your pledges via check or via online bill pay, whatever method you use that you're comfortable with. Joyce and Janet are working hard to make sure our finances are good and transparent and used effectively and well. And we, your pastors and staff and the leadership of this church, are making sure that La Jolla United Methodist Church is doing the work of building the kingdom of God. Our ministries are ongoing and your gifts help support the work. So I invite you to give now or to prayerfully consider giving in some other way than monetarily.
At the end of the storm is
Thanksgiving found in the worship edition of the journal or on the weekly worship information website, or you can follow along on the screen. God of the universe, we come to worship this morning, longing to set our minds on the Holy Spirit, to live with Christ within us. We have not always made room for Christ in the clutter of our lives. We have indulged our wants so often that too often the voice of the Spirit is drowned out. As we dedicate these gifts today, may it help us to live more in tune with the Spirit and to use our resources in a way that reflects that Christ is Lord of all our lives. In his holy name we pray. Amen.
And thus with joy we meet our Lord, his presence always near. His aid, such friendship better known, we see and praise him here. We see and praise him here. Together made, together bound, we go our different ways. And as his people in the world, we live and speak his praise. We live and speak his praise.
Hi friends, one of the things you may know about me is that I understood my call to ministry through camp. And this upcoming week is the week for middle school and high schoolers to be at Camp Cedar Glen. Of course, they're not going to be at Camp Cedar Glen. Camp is going to happen virtually, and I have a role in that camp. And so I wanted to just take a minute as we enter into our benediction time to invite you to pray for those who will be leading and participating in camp in this upcoming week. And so as we end this time of worship, let us recognize that God continues to connect us even when we are feeling physically distant from one another, that God's Spirit is alive and present and empowering within us and calling us and strengthening us to participate in God's good work. Grace and peace to you, my friends.